Welcome back to the Homeschool Conversation podcast, where we talk all things homeschool. Today, I have a special treat for you. I have three homeschool mamas that are going to help walk us through some very popular questions that I get. I'm going to start with Miss Martha. Can you tell us about what made you start homeschooling and how much time you actually were spending? I don't know if you're still homeschooling or if you're finished, but that's a popular question we get. And then I'm going to rotate on to the other moms to see if you guys have different responses.
Yes, those are two big questions, like how did I start or what made me start? And the other one is like, how do I do it? How much time spend on it? But I guess, one of the things I love, my mom is a teacher. She's a retired teacher. And one of the things I loved the most was the summertime, because that's when she had it off. And that's when she could devote all her time to all three children that she had. So for me, it had always been in my heart, the time spent with her during those times and doing all kinds of trips, road trips mostly. I just wanted to keep that going once my kids were here. I have two children, one 14-year-old and one 10-year-old. And I could never let them go, after having amazing births and, birth experiences and breastfeeding and, co-sleeping. Suddenly the thought of just sending them off was impossible for me. I could not cope with that. I did not need to cope with that. I need to adjust a lot of things because, we basically were going to lose one income in our family, but it was totally worth it.
Yeah. So then that was how you started, was just the idea of not feeling comfortable sending them away for 8 hours a day for 5 days a week. And what about before you go into the other part of my question, I want to see what the other moms think and what their reasons were. Lanye, what would you say was your top reason for wanting to start homeschooling, if you can remember? I don't know how far back.
We're not homeschooling anybody right now, but I remember it as though it were yesterday. Very different from Mom and Martha. I was sending them out of here. They were going out of here. At the time we had four and they were 2 years or less apart. And it was just crazy. And, for us, for me, it was clearly a word from God, our Christian faith, where God just said, you're going to homeschool. And I was just like, that can't be right. That can't be right. That can't be right.
Can you say that again, Dad?
Yeah, I know, right? And I went to my husband and I said, I think that, we're being called to homeschool. And he goes, not us. And it was just, and I heard him and I felt him, because we lived in the same house. So it was clear that our house was a mess. Nothing was organized because we had four kids, five and under. It was just crazy. So he proceeded to take our oldest at the time, who was six, to the local Christian school where he was going to apply. And he did. He applied. He put the registration money down. He did the testing. He was going. And then one day he came home and he goes, you really think that we should be homeschooling? And I go, yes. And the rest is history.
Well, unlike Lanye, it was actually my husband who was talking about boys and kind of their energy and their needs. And the author mentioned something about homeschooling. And so my husband said, what do you think about homeschooling? And I said, I never have thought about homeschooling.
I don't.
And so, and then I had another friend at the time who was also going to homeschool. And so I thought, well, now is maybe a good time to kind of investigate it. What is it? My kids were not school age yet. Mm-hmm. And so I started reading. I read blogs, I read books. And the more I read, the more I just thought, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. I love what it has to offer. I love the flexibility it gives to families, and I love how you can kind of customize it to meet your kids' needs. So we thought we would try it. And we thought we would go for it and see how it went, 1 year at a time, and kind of evaluate as we go. And here we are later. I have a 19-year-old, she's in college. I have a 17-year-old, he's going to be a senior, and I have a 15-year-old, and they've never not been homeschooled. We've just been doing it all these years. We've had highs, we've had lows, but as a whole, it has been very good for our family.
Yeah, that is just so, I love hearing all these, you guys are like the moms who made it to the other side. So the listeners that are listening to this are mostly moms who are still on the other side, like looking down the tunnel, looking for the light. So one of the popular questions I get is actually about how much time does it take to homeschool? And I know that probably varies a lot depending on what type of homeschooler you were. So I'm going to start with Martha. What type of homeschooling method did you mostly use, and how much time did it take you to homeschool? The million-dollar question I get.
My guts. That's like, you know, the biggest one that I follow. We do not follow a curriculum. I tried. I really tried. And it was really, really hard for our family to, like, you know, be in a box and follow certain, you know, certain steps. So for us, it's a little more fluid. That's not to say I do, like, you know, I do prepare and do like some learning plans. I want to call them that way. I call them that way because they always change, like all plans. They're very flexible. But the way that I have found for my family is to homeschool with other families. Because to do it alone, it was taking a big toll in my kid and me. And I was just trying to school at home, which was the wrong approach, you know? So what I was trying to, what I tried to achieve, and I have been very successful at, by putting together other families and forming like co-ops, that's how we get together. And you know, and learn with
other. So then, are you guys unschoolers?
Not precisely, because we do like work with other, you know, other families, other kids, and 4 days a week we sit down and do work. You know, it takes all the time to prepare. I never stop, and you know, I'm sure you guys never stop reading, learning. You know, studying, it's a never ending, you know, task. But the amount of the work that the kids do, I cannot measure it, because yes, we have certain amount that they work in classes, they always have some sort of classes, you know, but then they have their own thing going on too, you know, they go off on their own, and then they do their own.
Yeah, it's hard to research. I guess I heard somewhere once that it's almost like homeschoolers try to use the same measuring stick that the schools use, when really you just took your kids out of that school so you don't have to use their measuring stick. Yeah. But then bring them home and then you try to use the public school's measuring stick, and we try to say like, okay, this is how much hours we're going to spend, and we measure our success by how many hours we've spent and how many worksheets we've gotten done, and then we miss all of the other things that we've learned because we're not measuring it. We don't see it as learning unless it happened in the workbook or in the curriculum. So I hear what you're saying about it not being about it being hard to measure, because it's so much more fluid than what
it is. It is a process, you know. So like, it's a process, like you were saying. If we miss the process itself, I think we're gonna miss like a chunk of the spirit of homeschooling, I think. You know, so I it's a process I follow, and it's not only their process, it's my process too. You know, I was at the beginning thinking like, oh, I gotta follow their dreams. Like, no, we together as a family gotta move forward. If I don't grow, you know, they are not gonna grow either. Yeah. So that's something that we, my husband and I, like, make sure that we grow together too.
Yeah, I love, love, love that point. Because I think a lot of moms are thinking, they're listening to this and they're thinking, okay, what curriculum do I get? How many hours should I set aside? But there's not a lot of talk about what do I need to do for me? What do I need to learn and grow about in order to be the best person to help my child? So Lanye, what about you? What method of homeschooling did you use? Did you have a certain philosophy and a certain style? And how many hours did it take you to do your homeschooling?
Wow, there's a lot of questions in there.
I know, sorry.
No, but you know, the thing that seems to stand out to me, remember, I was not a homeschooler by nature, heart, or desire. So just like you were saying, like measuring sticks, like how you measured how well you were doing or not doing. So basically, my kids, you know, instead of being in a traditional school setting, I just brought that home. So they weren't at a, you know, like a traditional school, but we just brought that home. So we were doing traditional school at home. Mm-hmm. And we picked the most, to me, traditional curriculum because it was suggested by a friend, and that was K-12 CAVA. You ladies heard of that one?
Yeah, I have.
It's super duper rigorous, and it's very structured, and it's very, this is what they do, all the subjects, and you can be, you know, in school for 5-6 hours a day trying to check off all the boxes and get it all done. So our first son, who is like that, he loves structure, loves it. So for him, he thrived. And his father, we just divided the subjects, and I would do English, I would do math, he did science and history. And till this day, we still keep those notebooks because my husband, he's different than me. And I think he got the homeschooling concept better than I did, which is ironic because he was like, no, we're not homeschooling. But he has amazing notebooks that they created, where he took time and they really learned and explored, where I was more like, okay, we got to get this done.
Check
okay,
the boxes, literally. Check
yeah, them. Exactly. Check all of them and we need to get this done. Where he was just like, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about Spain and this country. And the, you know, like he really got into it. And I think he's a natural learner. So that was so beneficial, that time that they spent together and the kid, you know, our oldest son learned, and then subsequently our daughter came. But then our third born came and he was a totally different personality. Mm-hmm. CAVA wasn't gonna work. The structure wasn't gonna work. It was just not gonna happen. So then we had to like rethink our whole thinking of how we had been doing it, which is one of the beauties of homeschool. It's a challenge for us as the parents, but then it's also the beauty is that each kid can learn according to their interests, their learning styles, their personalities, and not feel, you know, bad about it. Not feel, you know, like I'm dumb or I can't learn because you don't learn the same way other students do.
And I think it also gives you like that resiliency and that adaptability to say like, okay, this isn't working anymore. I need to try a change. Whereas I feel like when you're in school, you really aren't given that option. It's like, no, you're going to do these standards. And if you don't hit them, then we need to get you in special ed or we need to get you medicated. And I just love that homeschool is an opportunity for you to admit when something's not working and change it. And I feel like what happens is when kids are finished being homeschooled, they come out so resilient and they still have that character trait of adaptability. Like, okay, we need to shift, you know?
And I... think they also know how to find stuff. Like they know how to work independently, search it out, research it, find it. They don't need to have a teacher over their shoulder or guiding. They're so in much, and I mean, all my children transitioned to traditional high school because they play sports, except my daughter. But that was one of their strengths for sure going in, was just like the teacher, you know, you may like may not like their teaching styles, but it didn't almost matter because they really knew how to find the information themselves.
Yeah, and that's that's another question I get, which I'm going to come back to. That is about the transition back to school. A lot of people fear that if they homeschool, their kids won't transition back to school well, that they'll be behind. They won't know how to sit in a seat. They won't know how to not talk over people and how to talk to adults and be in the real world. So I'm happy that you're here to shed light on that. We're going to come back to that point. I want to hear from Tanya about how much time she spent homeschooling, because again, a lot of people, I think they're starting to see that there's a lot of variability in how much time you can spend with actual homeschooling.
Yeah, well, I mean, when the kids were younger, we obviously spent a lot less time in the school day per se. But one of the things that we stressed as a family was that you're always learning. School doesn't take place between certain hours of the day. You're just always learning. So when the kids were little, we actually schooled year round with breaks throughout. So we would do, maybe we would school for about 6 weeks, take a week off, school for another 6 weeks, take a week off. And we just did that. And it was became part of our family routine. The other thing too is that I really liked, I don't know if you're familiar with Charlotte Mason, Ruth Beechick, or the Sunlight curriculum. Mm-hmm. All of them have, their basis is reading good books. And I don't mean textbooks, but like biographies and stories and stuff like that. And that's kind of the basis and the foundation for a lot. And so we spent a lot of time, especially when they were younger, sitting on the couch together, mm-hmm. reading together, talking, just enjoying one another. And so because of that, all my kids were studying the same thing at the same time. So like we were all studying the American Revolution. We were all studying pyramids. Like, you know, it was that kind of a feel.
And you didn't have to separate them. Like you didn't have to do separate one-on-one time with all of them all the time because you could combine subjects. I love that.
Right. So we had basically like a one-room schoolhouse kind of a feel. Like we were all learning about whatever, ladybugs or, you know, whatever. And then as the kids got to certain things in their various skill levels that they needed, that's when it was like, all right, so-and-so needs to learn how to read. Spend time with that kid. Or, you know, okay, we need to count. We need to do. And so that's sort of how we ran our school for years. And then as the kids grew, we kept that format as a whole, but it also morphed. So, you know, now my most recent years are high school years. So we still do all of our history together. We're all still studying the same history. Their maths are all different, but they're at a point where they're doing their maths independently because they've learned how to, like Lanye said, you know, you do it on your own. You find the independence. You learn how to learn. And at some point, I can't remember exactly when, somewhere in their elementary school years, we transitioned to the more traditional school year schedule. Just because it seemed to make sense, because that's when so many friend and church activities seem to run their calendars too. But we still sometimes did things in the summers just to keep a routine, just to keep things kind of interesting. They were usually kind of fun and light and so forth. As far as how much time in the day, like I said, when the kids were little, like, I don't know, a couple hours kind of a thing. I mean, it was quick. We would do some fun things together, art, science, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the individual skill stuff. Now my high schoolers are longer days, you know. We start off together in the morning, still doing some stuff together. And then they go off and do independent things until they get them done. So depending on the subject, some of them are done fast and some of them take a little longer.
Yeah, and I love what you said about how there's just room for you to school the whole year long. A lot of people get overwhelmed when they hear that. They're like, you don't give your kids breaks. They don't take
some. Oh, we took tons of breaks.
But I think every time, schooling.
Yeah, every time my husband had a day off of work, It was an automatic holiday.
Yeah, no, I know that. That's for sure. Husbands and the homeschool plans just throws everything off.
Yeah.
So then I want to know how you guys went about choosing your curriculum, because, and I'm going to start with Martha and then go to Lanye and back to Tanya again. A lot of people are overwhelmed with all of the curriculum choices. How did you guys end up choosing one? And did you stick with that one? How did you end up deciding that it was time to switch off of that one? So Martha, I'm going to start with you. Whichever of those questions stands out to you, feel free to grab it.
Yes. Well, I was, I was telling you that I do not have a curriculum. I do not follow somebody else's curriculum. That's what I do.
I should have said for you, I should have said, well, how did you decide on your approach? Like, how did you decide not?
Yes. If I see that there's something that my kids are very interested, I plan a class, a whole year class based on that. Normally I find a really good book, and based on that book, then I make a learning plan, and I teach a class based on that.
An example of that, like something that your kids were interested in, then you end up designing a whole.
Okay. So last semester or last year, there is this really good, really amazing book about how to build a universe with 92 ingredients, and it's an intro to chemistry, and basically we just went through the whole book. Every week we will meet with it was not just my kids, it was like other kids in that class, and we do experiments based on that, and then we research together. I leave them homework and then come back next week and build on that. This is just one example. There's amazing books that you can find to support your learning, and they don't have to be a curriculum book. It's just a regular book that somebody was super creative and created, and you just riff off from there. And the fact that there's other kids around taking the class together makes it super rich, because then all of those kids involved, they actually support, the whole group, and all of them support each other's ideas. And push each other, they're very encouraging
I love that you mentioned that, because I think that's another misconception people have about homeschoolers, is that they don't have any peer interaction. It's just not the truth. Was that a group of kids who were all the same age as your child, or was it variable ages in that group?
I tried to put them in the ages, I do have two learning centers. That's where I, that's what I do. I have two learning centers, and in both of them we have from K to second, and to third to sixth,
So you have
and
space
six
to, be
to nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if one kid is ready to take something, with the older kids, off he goes, Even if he's a young kid and he wants to try it out, he goes that way. And vice versa, the older kids want to take something that, with the younger kids, they're totally welcome too.
Yeah, I love that flexibility. I think that some people are missing that in school. They don't get the chance to be advanced in different subjects. It's like you need to stay in your third grade box until you're in the third grade box, and then you can move on. So if you're more advanced in science or more advanced in math, I love that you have that option for them.
That option.
What about you, Lanya? How did you weed through all of the... When you decided to homeschool and there was all the options for curriculum, how did you end up deciding on what you decided on?
I don't know that initially we decided, stuff just was coming at us. And I would say, oh, I like that. Or no, I don't care about that so much. And then also each child, they kind of, would lead the way as well. So if they were interested, my one daughter's a real writer, reader, and then she loved animals. So for her, the emphasis might be tons of field trips, like, we were never home to homeschool. So for us, especially in the early years, we were always, and just, you know, kind of coordinated with some incredible families who, you know, there was someone gifted in organizing. And so she would plan these, you know, these amazing field trips, and we would go, we looked like a little school, but it was a combination. So of learning, social interacting, and then of course the mamas would be able to say, so how's your day going? How's your week been? How's your, you know, so it was therapy for us. It was fun for them, and everybody's learning.
Yes.
So that part was amazing. And I did not anticipate that, but it was really partly what kept us, you know, sane. Because once again, I did not choose to homeschool. So yeah, it was amazing. And then as the kids got older, it was kind of like, okay, I think they need something that might be a little bit more substance. And so we went a bent towards classical conversation. And I really liked the idea of them learning Latin and just other things. I like the idea of unit studies, because once again, I think that everything is connected. So it's not like, okay, we do history now, and then you stop and do math, and then you stop and do science, and then you stop and do, like, I felt they were all integrated, and that was a natural way for them to learn. It's challenging for the teachers, but I think it's a more natural way for them to learn, actually. So yeah,
especially if you went to, like, I went to public school, I don't know if you guys did, but for me, it's really hard to see that, because that is how we were programmed. You know, we did stop at history and then do math and then stop and do science. So now when you're asking us grownups who went through that system as a child to now think differently and homeschool and try to integrate things, what did that look like for you? Because I know for me, that was hard to get in my skull, which is, how can history and science be together? Or how can you be combining subjects that you always knew were separate? How did you get that?
I don't know that I was, at some point I must have been searching things out, because I had to be prepared. But I remember discovering a thing called unit studies. And when I read about it, I was like, that's what I want. That's what makes sense to me. And so I think it just struck a chord with me, and it was just something that resonated with me. Nowadays, when we homeschooled, it wasn't as popular, but it wasn't like the people who's, you know, 10, 20 years before us who had nothing. Like, we had a lot of options. We had, charter homeschools. We had curriculums everywhere. There were curriculums all over the place. And so it was just a matter of searching out unit study curriculums. And I found a really good one, but I can't think of the name of it right now.
Well, there's so many of them. Overwhelming how many options there are. You think it's like such a good thing, but then it does get overwhelming to then decide on something, which is why I'm interested hearing you guys talk about the process. By it's like, you guys are like, I don't even know, we just kind of went, we got the fire hose turned on us, we tried to drink as much water as we could from the hose, and here we are.
And voila, it works. I think it does, and that sounds really simplistic, but I just think that as moms, you don't pick this. Even Martha, you choosing it, but you knew it was going to be challenging. This is not something you say, oh, I'm picking this because it's the easier route necessarily. No. You're picking it because it's a better route for your children. You know, they're going to get something that you never had. And, you know, for that reason, as moms, once again, the sacrificing continues, but it's with joy because you know it's better for your kids.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. And so what about you, Tanya? What about how you went about this process?
Well, I already mentioned that I really liked the reading of real books idea. I desperately wanted to buy a curriculum.
Have the boxes.
I wanted something that would tell me what to do. But I am just a glutton for punishment, I guess, because everything I saw, I was like, eh. I liked parts of it, but I didn't like all of it. And I knew that if I actually spent money on something, I would feel the pressure to do all of it. And I realized early on, like, I had to do what was sustainable for me as the mom. no matter what my friends did, no matter how well it worked in their families, I needed to think about my personality and how I could play to my own strengths. And so I had to go back to, like, what is my philosophy of education? What is it that I want to have in my home? And then that's how I built what I chose to study. And so I used a lot of different websites and catalogs as book lists. And we used the library like nobody's business. I mean, librarians know us all by first name.
Yes.
Because we came in every week and we would check out like 20 books at a time per person. And so we did a lot that was based on real books. Like, you know, like Martha was saying, you don't need a quote unquote education book. A book written by someone who really cares about their subject and who explains it well is huge. And then from there, we would go off of it. So if it was a history book, maybe we would read some literature that was in that time period, and we would put stuff on a timeline, and we would look at the stuff on a map. Maybe we would even create something. I remember when the kids were little, we studied the Lewis and Clark journey. And we read a bunch of different books, and we made little journals as if we were on the journey with them. And we bound them in, you know, faux leather, which was basically paper bags that we wrinkled up and then, and then put back out again and burned the edges of, and, you know, drew pictures of plants and flowers and animals that we supposedly saw on our journey, and, you know, stuff like that. And so, yeah, I mean, it was, I heavily used other people's suggestions, but then I had to make it my own. Had to turn it into something that I cared about. For example, I'm not a crafty girl. I like knitting, that kind of thing, but like gluing popsicle sticks together drives me crazy. You know, that kind of stuff, that's not my thing. And a lot of the younger age box curriculums have some very cool activities that I knew I just wouldn't get into.
Yeah.
And I know that some families and kids would just thrive with that, but I knew that it would drive me nuts. And so, so I had to think about, okay, what's meaningful for me? What's meaningful for my family? And run with that. And the hard part about that, though, I will say, is then not comparing yourself to the other families who are doing the things that you're quote unquote bad at, because then you start to feel like a failure. Like, oh, I should be like them because look at that.
Yes,
instead of saying no, this is who we are.
Yes.
And we're going to roll with our strengths, and we're going to appreciate what they do. We're going to encourage our friends. We're going to, you know, and maybe we'll even get some ideas from them too, but we can't emulate somebody else's homeschool perfectly. And we shouldn't.
I love that you said that because I wanted us to talk about like that whole concept of learning gaps and of being behind or what you're missing out on. So I feel like you touched on it perfectly, because it's true that each family is going to have their own unique strengths. And I feel like when your kids are in school, you probably never feel bad about that, because you just assume in school they're getting it all and they're going to have no learning gaps. They're going to go to school and they're going to come out fully filled in, no gaps. They're not going to be behind because they passed their test. So they're not behind. They remember everything. And suddenly when they're homeschooled, we lose all of that confidence. We're like, oh, they're going to have learning gaps. They're going to be behind. And we're so much more all of a sudden in tune to all these things that can actually happen. You can have learning gaps. You can be behind, which I would encourage.
I was going to say, and the truth is we all have learning gaps. None of us knows everything.
Yes.
In fact, my kids got such a kick out of it because I grew up overseas. So I never learned American history thoroughly. So when we were learning it in school, I was like, oh, I never knew that. Oh, that's interesting. And they thought that was hilarious that their mother was learning American history for the first time alongside of them, because that was my learning gap. And instead of it being a weakness for us, it was a strength, because it made me want to dive in even more and learn even more, and not just kind of like, okay, this is what we're supposed to do and move on.
Yeah. And you are modeling for your kids what it looks like to not know something, to admit right. that you don't know it, and then to show them, okay, this is how I go and get it. This is right. how I go and find out what I don't know. And to me, I feel like that is so much more powerful than us just getting through all the boxes and then your kids really never get to see, but what do I do if I don't know something? What do I right. do if I don't even know that I don't know something because I thought I knew it because I remembered it for the test? So I love that you're pointing that out, that you might always have a learning gap even when you're an adult.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no like educational emergency. We don't have to arrive at our educational destination by the time we reach 18. So what about you, Martha? What do you think about this whole idea of learning gaps and being behind and that sort
of thing? When like new families come to our place, they are very concerned about like, you know, that's one of the big things, like, oh my God, they're going to learn, or my kid is this age and, you know, it's not reading. My 10-year-old just learned to read this year, and probably she knew how to read, but we did not know if she was or not. She was very hermetic about it. She didn't want to share it. She was just doing her own thing. And then suddenly now she is reading novels, like full on novels. And she just cannot get enough with, like, you know, in the span of this year. But it was a trusting. I needed to trust the process,
yeah.
you know, and I needed to stop my husband many, many times and remind him, like, remember our first child, you know, it took a little bit to hold on. They're getting it. You know, we might not be doing like pages and pages of this, or, you know, exercises and phonetics and this and that. They are going to learn. Once they learn to read, they are going to learn to write on their own, because they are going to be driven to do it. And I can see my daughter doing it now. She's starting to like write, and she's not only writing, she's doing comic books now, and she's going off.
Now you can't even get her to stop reading.
Exactly, you know, exactly. I have to say, like, hey, stop reading. We have to go and eat, you know.
Oh my gosh, how much would a mom love to be able to tell her kid,
stop, put that book down, please. But yeah, so one of the things I always say to, like, you know, to the parents that I meet is like, remember when your babies were babies and you went to the park or whatever you went, and your baby was not walking yet, and you saw the kids that probably were like, you know, the age of your baby, and then you started to compare your baby to those babies, and that was a downer.
Yeah, like, I have to get them therapy. Why aren't they walking?
Why they're not walking? Why they're not talking? Why they're not doing the things that other kids are doing? It's like, because they're not other kids. To come to that realization that your child is so unique and beautiful as it is, that is just one of the biggest gifts that you can give yourself and your child, you know, and he and she, them, they're going to grow like, you know, huge based on the assumption that they, you know, they just have to be who yeah. they are.
And it's so true. I feel like, why is it that when we're potty training our kids, we're like, okay, they're going to get it. We know, we trust, like, we know they're going to get it. Mm-hmm. But then when we're teaching them to read, we don't have that same trust. We're like, nope, you're not going to get it unless I drill this into your brain, sound it out, read 30 minutes a day. And if I don't do those things, you're not going to get it. You're going to go to college and never know how to read. I don't know why. I don't know why we lack that ability to trust.
And that leads to frustration.
Huge. And the frustration, exactly. I was going to get to that point. It's like, then you get frustrated, and then it's just homeschooling at its worst.
Yeah.
You
know,
my son called it torture schooling.
Yes. When it's just the horrible parts of it. You know, when you're pressuring yourself, your kids, your household, and it just, the whole thing collapses.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm hoping that the listeners who are hearing all of you guys talking, that they're going to hear your wisdom, that you guys have already been there and done that. And you're now on the other side and sharing that, yes, my kids mm-hmm. do read. And you guys all chose something different. So there's peace in knowing that you don't mm-hmm. have to choose a curriculum, or you can do traditional school at home. Your kids can actually go back to school. So Lanya, can you share about that whole idea that your kids actually homeschooled and then, dare I say, are now in school? How did they hate it? Did they love it? Were they so behind? Share all the juicy details.
I wanted to just say two things from what you guys have just, so much information and wealth of information. It's just amazing. It's going to help some homeschooling mamas out there who are struggling. And I'm excited. But trusting the process, that's something that it's like faith. Mm-hmm. You may not see it, but you just got to believe it's there. And as you march forward, meaning doing the things that you believe to be right, it's going to be amazing. So hang in there. And then the other thing was comparison. Comparing ourselves, our children, what we're doing, that's so key, because that was something that I struggled with probably even to this day.
It doesn't go away.
I think that you recognize it sooner and you can stop it. Like, you can say, I know what that is. I'm not doing that. Like, I've been there. But comparison is a trap also. So it never resolves anything. Just to let, to remind myself and to let others know, it's a trap. So when you think about doing it and when you're doing it in your head or whatever, just know that it never leads to anything good. Now, Tanya was saying, we can gather ideas from one another, absolutely, and hey, how did that work for you? And you, oh yeah, we did this. And that was the amazing part of the community of homeschooling, mm-hmm. I thought, that most times, I'd say 9.5 out of 10, other moms and dads were willing to share and even welcome you in. Like, we're doing this thing, we're starting a Spanish co-op. You wanna, none of us really speak it, but we're gonna do this, So the willingness of moms and dads and families to come together. So I just wanted to say that. And then the transition. First of all, I thought transitioning would mean people would look at us like you homeschool and be somewhat impressed. They're not. As a matter of fact, they're looking at you kind of weird. And so I think my oldest son, when he transitioned, I couldn't believe some of the things some of the teachers were actually saying. For example, and I'll remember this probably to the day I leave this earth. Your son didn't know what a Scantron was. And I'm thinking to myself, no, he totally knows what a Scantron is. And why are you saying that he doesn't know what a Scantron is? Like, so there was this bias in the transition, which I wasn't expecting. And it was mentioned almost like a joke, like you homeschool, but you really weren't in school, which was really sad to me and disappointing. So here it comes again, where the things they learned at homeschooling, meaning to be independent, to be, sort of free thinkers and understanding, that you did learn, and it was a good experience. But the pressure of that, I think the peer pressure of, sort of belittling homeschooling or thinking it of something that's not respectable, can weigh on a child, a teenager, when they're transitioning into traditional schools, unfortunately. Yeah, unfortunately. So the oldest, it was a different situation for him. He still doesn't regret it. He still is glad that he transitioned, because he was an athlete. So he was able to do that, which he really enjoyed, in a team kind of situation. So, and then my daughter, number two, she actually homeschooled all the way through. And then the two boys, who are also athletes, are in traditional school right now. And then we have a five-year-old who's home.
So. Yeah, so then what you're saying is that your son didn't know what a Scantron was, or maybe he did know, but then whatever was the misunderstanding about that, he ended up just being like, oh, okay, well, this is a Scantron. So it's like, is the fear of him not having known what a Scantron was enough to say, I shouldn't have done this? It's like, no, he figured it out when it was time to figure that out. So then did you find that he was behind or socially awkward or... anything that people commonly are concerned about with homeschooling, they worry how their kids are going to do when they go back to school. Did you find that to be the case? Or, and if you did, how did you deal with that? Or was that not an issue?
Well, I think that I might also add, and I won't say the name of the school, but he transitioned to a private Catholic all-boys school, which was, you know, that couldn't be more different than what we were doing. And so I do not think that he was behind. I think the challenges came with the social pressures that came from not just, you know, the peers, but also the faculty, the teachers. And I didn't realize how kind of bad it was. Like, you know, and it makes sense. If you're a traditional teacher, you're not probably that excited about homeschooling because that's taking work from you. So I get it. But you know, and even in that, though, he had some amazing teachers that were very encouraging and very helpful and respectful and all of that as well. But of course, you know, as a mom, like a mama bear, you want to protect your kids. You don't want them to be, you know, labeled. And I think that with homeschooling, sometimes when you transition into traditional settings like that, depending on which ones they are, there's that chance that will happen. So you just kind of have to prepare them, which I don't think that we prepared him, because I wasn't expecting it to happen. Because I'm expecting people to think, oh, wow, you were homeschooled. That's great. But no, it was your homeschool. You're probably weird.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a life lesson in and of itself, which maybe you haven't even realized this yet. But for you to have walked through that with him, for him to realize, like, okay, I may have expected to walk into this social situation with these expectations, and then it was different than what I expected, and then how you helped him cope with that disappointment. And that's a lesson that's valuable and not taught in textbooks, which I think is very worthy of your time and of your life to have walked through that with him. And then just, I think for him to see the experience too of transitioning into an uncomfortable environment, I think that people misunderstand that homeschoolers are in a bubble and they never get exposed to uncomfortable mm-hmm. situations. So I think it was great for him too, to sort of be like, okay, what do I do when I'm in an uncomfortable situation? Like, what has mom taught me? What has she shown me that I'm supposed to do? And I almost think that kids who never are homeschooled, they never really get that experience per se, because they're always in the same comfortable situation all the time. They're never mm-hmm. really, they don't have the access to a parent to be like, okay, this is what you do when someone does XYZ. You know, so I love that you guys walk through that challenge together. That's awesome.
No, you know, looking back on it, you know, there were other things involved in that situation, but by the time he graduated, I couldn't be more proud of the young man that he had grown to be. And all of that was based on all of that which he experienced, you know. So yeah, no, it was an amazing time. It was challenging. But even today I will ask him every now and then, do you regret transitioning to traditional school? And he said, no, absolutely. Not that it was, you know, what he wanted to do, what he felt he needed to do, because once again, in homeschooling, it's all these experiences. So just in life, so that was one more experience that he couldn't get that experience homeschooling, right? So yeah. For him, you know, I think that it was a win. It was, once again, it was experiencing life and us being there to do that with him. So.
And I think for our listeners too, hearing that homeschooling doesn't have to be something that you do full time. It can be something that you do for a season. I'm like a diehard homeschool fan, so I feel like homeschooling for life. But then other people who don't feel that way are like, but wait, how do I transition? So I like that we have all these different perspectives. And you know, shifting a little bit of gears, I want to make sure, because we are almost running out of time soon, I want to make sure that we get to touch on homeschooling and marriage, if you guys feel comfortable sharing anything about that, and about skeptical family members. So those are the two topics left that I want to see if you guys have anything, any wisdom and insight to share on. So I'm going to start with Tanya. You can grab any of the two topics, whether it's skeptical family or how homeschooling's affected your marriage, and then we'll go back around to Martha.
Oh boy, let's see. I think because homeschooling was such a part of our family, who we were. I mean, my husband would tease me. He's like, it's your job and your hobby. Like, it was who we are. And so he was, I mean, again, remember I told you it was kind of his idea to start off with. So he was always very supportive, always very, very encouraging. But I always did the bulk of it. I know that, you know, there were a lot of people we know who shared the homeschooling duties. I think Lanya mentioned she and her husband did that. That didn't happen with us because my husband was, he was gone at work, and it didn't work with our schedules. But I always knew he was there. I always knew he was supportive. I always knew he was encouraging. He was always kind of very much like, you know, I empower you to do whatever you need to do, kind of a feeling. And so I would say, you know, maybe the downside would be that just like people who send their kids to a brick and mortar school, when they go on date night, they're going to talk about the kids. I would say the downside is, because we lived in our school, then that meant that we would sometimes talk about the kids and the schooling almost too much, if that makes sense, because there wasn't that separation. It was all one. And so I would say that was kind of the challenge for us, was like, okay, that's great that we embrace homeschooling. It's great that this is so much part of who we are. But we had to be really proactive to pay attention to us separately. And so I would say that was maybe a bit of the challenge, that we didn't just talk about kids in school all the time.
Yeah, I can totally see how that is happening to us. I didn't share with you guys. I have a fourth grader and a second grader, and my twins are 22 months, and I've been home. This is my fourth year homeschooling. And so my husband, too, he's the one that encouraged me to homeschool. I didn't want to, thought they were weird. and so, yeah, now that I'm doing it, here I am doing a homeschool conversation podcast. So you can tell how much I've changed. But yeah, it has affected our marriage. I would agree that we're always talking about it. We're always evaluating like where we are, where we were, where we want to be. And it's like, okay, what about us? You know, we used to be a couple before this homeschool thing came along. So how did
you will be a couple again. I mean, that's the thing. It's like at some point they're going to leave your home and they will have their own lives, and you need to have something foundational there that will be there at that point.
Yeah. So then how did you, do you remember how you combated that issue when you realized it was an issue that you were always talking about homeschooling? Did you like start doing date nights, or just, did you just press through it knowing that one day it won't be like this anymore? Or?
Well, even that, I would say we weren't always consistent. It's like we would notice it and, oh, we need to spend more time. We need to be more proactive. We need to, you know, whatever. And then you would kind of jump on that for a while, and then it would kind of peter off again. And then suddenly it's like, oh, wait, we need to, you know. So I would say it was something that we had to keep coming back to and still do.
You had to keep making the choice to come back to it.
Correct.
So what about you, Martha? I don't know if you want to continue on the marriage question or if you have insight on the skeptical families, either one.
I think like, you know, but they both go together. My husband, you know, he is from New Jersey. I was born and raised in Mexico City. To combine both of us, you know, not only culturally, you know, but all kinds of language, you know, culture, I had to learn so much from him as he had to learn from me. So when the point came that we had to start homeschooling, he just followed the lead, and he went on full on, even though at the beginning, you know, his family was a little bit, why are you guys doing this? This is like the first grandchild and you're doing what to her?
Yeah.
So that was very, very, I mean, it was not that bad, but we can tell that they were not very happy, my in-laws, about it. But, you know, they grown to love it. And they love the fact that, you know, recently we took a trip to Williamsburg with them. And they know that we're doing it for, like, you know, for educational purposes, and they take part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, my in-laws love that now. And they always like support it. Like, what did you guys, you know, they send us some books, you know, when the kids need books and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they're always like, you know, doing research on their own of topics that my daughters like and sending them that. Mm-hmm. And now that, you know, with the pandemic and the lockdown, my mother-in-law turned to me and she said, thank goodness you guys are homeschoolers.
Oh, how validating is that?
Because you guys, you know, the transition for all of us was painless. I mean, it was definitely, there was, like, you know, challenges, of course, mm-hmm. you know, but it was so much easier. And I just felt with all my heart, all these families that were thrown into this situation without wanting to be in this situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me and my husband, the only thing that we had to, like, you know, make sure that my husband felt good about it. He loves numbers and see results. So we actually enroll into a charter school, you know, an independent charter school. So he would see, like, you know, the results of how they're doing. He loves that. I just don't even look at them. He goes through them and he loves checking the boxes and he feels at peace with that. So if that's what we needed it, you know, that's what we did. It was very hard for me to conform to the charter school and what they wanted from us. And I just, it suffered so much at the beginning, getting all these samples and things like, why you want this? But now I really appreciate somebody was keeping records for me. I didn't have to worry about all that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I learned to appreciate all this. Plus, you know, the funds that we get to, like, being able to afford many things, you know. Mm-hmm. So I learned to love that. And it was my husband that was the pusher, because I did not want to go that route. I want to go wrong and on my own and all that.
Yeah. But that's why I feel like that's why God puts together two. It's like you never see two people who are the same in a marriage. It's like you're always going to have these two opposite people. I'm like, God, why do you do that? Yeah. And it's like you would think it'd be easier to just put two people who are always going to see things the same way together. And it's like God just never does that. He always puts people who see things differently. Mm-hmm. They have different strengths. They have different weaknesses. And he like perfectly matches them so that you guys can complement each other. And I think if we, the people in the marriage, could just see it that way, they see, like, yes, this is not my strength, or yes, this, he's very weak in that, let me step up here. If we could just see it that way and really be a team, it could be so different. But I think instead it's hard sometimes to see that. We feel like we should be good at everything, or our husbands should be good at everything, or they should see things how we see it. And I love that you were able to work with him in that, you know, letting him have his structured time with his box checking. And you know what else? I love that you also were able to have homeschooling foster close relationships with your grandparents, because I feel like when kids are in school, there's not that type of relationship with sending them books and talking about things they're learning. It's a very different relationship, you know, that I'm hearing that their grandparents are having with them. So that's another
beautiful
little perk.
Because I think they saw that, you know, how well it was working for them. Mm-hmm. And that they were not growing weird, you know?
Yeah.
They were like very articulate kids.
Well, how did you deal with it before they became supportive? And then I'm going to go to Lanye about this question. Before they became supportive about it, though, how did you deal with that period of time when they were not supporting you, and then you had to continue anyway? Did you just say, well, this is my choice, or did you, how did you deal with that?
I think my in-laws were very gracious. You know, they just kind of, like, you could see, like, their eyes and very, like, nodding and being very respectful.
Okay, that's nice.
But you can tell that they were, like, a little uncomfortable. But yeah, you know, nowadays they are, like, totally, like,
you know, okay, so they didn't give you a hard time.
Not give us a hard time.
What about you, Lanya? Did you have anyone giving you a hard time about, besides yourself, giving you a hard time about the decision to homeschool?
Well, you know what? I mean, I didn't want to, but I was sure we were doing what we were supposed to do. So there's that. Like, I mean, you could not like it, but if you know that's where you're supposed to be, then you resign to that and let's go. But yeah, no, in our family, and I think you know, I'm just going to say traditionally, you don't see African American, you don't see Black families homeschool. You see more now, but you know, when we started, we were like the only ones. And so for our culture, it was like, what in the heck is that? Like homeschooling, that's those really weird kids that sit in a corner and they can't talk and look you in your eye. And they just had a whole idea of what that looked like. And so, you know, my husband, who is a pretty, you know, stern kind of, this is what we're doing and it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks kind of guy, they knew that nothing they could say was going to change our minds. But the beautiful thing is, like Martha, and I'm sure also maybe Tanya, you experience the validation. When the naysayers come in and they go, wow. And for us, that came initially when there was a lot of violence on school campuses. I don't know if you guys remember that, but there were like shootings and just crazy things that were happening on school campuses. And then all of a sudden, wow, you guys are brilliant. How did you know to homeschool? Oh my gosh. And my mom was, I'm so glad my grandchildren are not in those schools because it's just crazy out there. So, and then when they started doing, you know, presentations or learning instruments and they would do, you know, just whatever to quote, show off how they're doing in school and their extracurricular things, then there was that sort of proud, wow, look at my grandchildren, look at my nieces, look at my nephews, look at my whatever, you know. So
yeah,
validation eventually comes, but initially it's tough. But for us, because we felt like we were doing exactly what we were supposed to do, it didn't, I don't think it swayed us too much. Like, I think we were pretty much focused in what we're doing, so.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you guys about that, about advice you would give to new homeschoolers who are facing skeptical family members. And I'm gonna start with Tanya, because I know for me, my mom's a teacher and my dad is a school bus driver. And so we all went through the public school system, me and my four siblings. And so when I told them I was gonna homeschool, they were just, like, my dad was like, is that legal? And then my mom, who's a teacher, was like, I get homeschooled kids. They're very, like how you were saying, Lanya, like, they're weird. They she's like, they have a hard time writing sometimes. And you know, she's like, they are very good readers and they are very good critical thinkers and they are self-learners. So they do always catch up, but it's just, you know, at first it's kind of a weird transition. So she was like, are you sure you should do that? And so there's a lot of skepticism. And now, of course, she's very proud. She calls to do like book clubs with them, read books with them. And she's always shocked by the way they respond to her questions about the book. She's like, your kids just think so different. She's like, your kids are so like easy. It's easy for them to predict things. And I'm just shocked by their responses. So anyway, for Tanya, I'm wondering, do you have any advice for homeschoolers who are just starting out this school year and they're just, they need someone to throw them a bone?
Well, I say one of the things is knowing when to speak and when to bite your tongue. Because there are people who just want to be critical. And they don't really care about your kids, your reasons. They just want to be critical. They think you're wrong. And in those times, I would bite my tongue because it's like, there's no point. They're not really interested in my story. With other people who seem to care and seem to be talking out of a sense of concern, then it was more like, okay, yes, let's have a discussion about my reasons why. Let's talk about this. And, you know, I think too, you know, just the term in real school came up a lot. Oh, you know, those kids in real school, they do this. You know, your kids don't know about this because they're not in real school. And it was a really hard thing to help people understand that, no, my school was still real. It just looked different than other people's schools maybe looked. And just kind of helping them see, like, I remember distinctly my husband having a conversation with members of his family saying, but yeah, look, but we can customize this for our kids. I mean, don't you all remember being in classrooms when you were kids and not understanding the material and the teacher was going too fast and they didn't care and you just had to keep up? or you remember being in a classroom and you knew everything already, but you had to keep sitting on that subject for the next 3 weeks because that's what the teacher was supposed to do. And he says, we don't have to do that. We can just teach our kids. And I remember that conversation distinctly and kind of eyes lighting up when they think about their own schooling experience. Like, oh yeah, in theory, the brick and mortar is the perfect school. But when you think about your own experience, we all have our sob stories. We all have our frustrations. And I am not going to say that homeschooling is the perfect choice. I'm not going to say that it will fix all your problems. But I am going to say that for our family, it was easier for us to say, these are the reasons why. And then, as Anya said, just sort of sit back and just wait. And those who really cared about us would start to see things. Those who couldn't care less and who were just critical, you just kind of had to, can't let them get under your skin. You just have
to
keep
going. Just, you can't hold your breath. And I wanted to say that too. I forgot someone here said something about waiting for the validation that it does come. But in the meantime, I would suggest not holding your breath, waiting for people in your life to be, the only person who really needs to be on your team is your husband. I feel like everyone else is secondary and they can just hold their breath. You don't hold your breath waiting to get validation and acceptance from other people, because it's going to affect you and the way you interact with your kids. You're going to feel like you're constantly putting your kids on stage in front of family, which you are going to get family there and be like, okay, what's 40 times 600? You don't know 40 times 600?
We have those.
Yeah. So I feel like you can't hold your breath on those things, because why don't skeptical people do that to kids who are in school? It's like, they don't do that. They're just like, oh, you're in school. You're getting what you're supposed to get. Martha, what do you think about this? What advice would you give to people who are just starting out homeschooling, whether it's about skeptical family members or just in general?
Well, I remember when all the friends that we knew when my kids were like very young, they started to go to like, you know, a brick and mortar school. And it was the moment of decision, like, okay, this is it. This is legally, I have to do something from now on. So what am I gonna do? And just the feeling of swimming against the stream, like stepping onto the river and just walking those steps and like being against the stream constantly, you know, it does not go away. So for the new families, it's just like, just be open to that. It's never gonna go away. It's just like parenting, right? All of your fears are you're going to like, you know, mess up your kids somehow. It does never go away, you know? So it's the same for homeschooling for me, is that feeling of like, that fear, you know, learn to live with that fear and just go over it and continue working and putting the work and being kind to your kids, always being kind to your kids. Before you try to be kind to other people, trying to like, you know, or trying them to understand what
absolutely
you're doing,
and being kind know? To yourself. It's like, hello, you're going through a huge transition as a mom
to yourself. That's right. And in the other hand, we are interdependent, you know, we belong to like this world too, you know. So I am not trying to sell homeschooling to other people, but as much as I can explain myself and educate them, you know, on the things that we do and how we do them. A lot of people are very open to listen to that, you know. You can tell when people has like, you know, ill intentions and when they come and ask you questions, and then you just easily can shut them down. But then there's other people that are genuinely like curious of like, how is it that you chose it? Why did you choose this? This is very interesting. Why did you chose this, you know? So I think just that, you know, to remember that A, you are on your own on this, but no, you're not really. And there's a huge community that you just have to find. You know, when you find your community, you lean on that community, and then you let that community lean on you. You gotta hold a hand for the others too. You know, so once you find that, boy, you are like invincible. I remember after that, taking the decision and say like, yes, we're going to homeschool. And everybody else went and like, you know, signed all their kids to school. and we just stay at home for hours and hours, and I didn't know what to do. It was driving me nuts. Once I found, you know, my tribe and the people that I was going to grow together with, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it, because then I just could turn around and cry. I could turn around and leave my child to just, please have this child for a second. I'm going to go and do something else. Knowing that this person in their heart have like always, is going to always, you know, like care for the soul of my child.
Like they have because the same values.
That's what like homeschoolers do, you know, for the most part. It's people that really want to care for the soul of the children and keep them as pristine so they can make the choices and open themselves to the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, just find your tribe and just, you know, learn to live with the fear. It's okay to be afraid.
Thank you for saying that. That is so good. That is such gold.
Yeah.
So as we start to wrap up, I know we could just talk for hours because this is I just love this. It's just food for my soul. As we wrap up, I have my last question for you guys. And then if you have any businesses that are either related or not related to homeschooling, a lot of people want to support homeschool moms or just small business owners or just people who have any type of business that needs to stay afloat. If you have any of those things, I want you to share that at the end of your response to this last question, as well as contact information. But my last question for you guys is, if you knew now, if you knew back then what you know now, that your kids were going to turn out okay, would you have done anything different? And I'm going to start with Wanye, because you have kids that are sort of all across the gap. If you knew in the beginning what you know now, would you have done anything different? You know, some people say they would have played more games, they would have went on more field trips, or some people say they have no regrets at all. But I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are about that.
When you first asked that initially, I was going to say no regrets, because I can't really think of any that are so great that I think that they impacted it, our experience in such a bad way. But then I thought again, and I think it would have more to do with me. And that would be, you know, kind of speaking to what Martha was saying, like allowing myself, giving myself more grace, you know, not being so hard on myself. And I think that comes a lot from within, but also from the outside pressures of just the world and life. But giving myself more grace and relax and enjoying it a little bit more. I think I would enjoy it a little bit more, because it was really an amazing time. Celebrate the wins more, celebrate the things that we're doing that's good. And, you know, and for those naysayers, I would kind of brag about how we would take vacations when everybody else was in school.
Yeah. I know. That's one of the juicy secrets about homeschool.
We're getting the best rates on hotels, flights, everything.
Yeah, people don't know. It's like the dark secrets of homeschooling. You guys don't even know. We're just trying to be vacation. What about you, Tanya? When you were first starting out homeschooling, if you knew that your kids were going to turn out okay, that whatever mistakes you made, they weren't going to be screwed up, would you have done anything differently? Or do you feel like all of the good, bad, and the ugly was just a necessary process?
I think that there are always things that maybe I could have improved on, as far as just like maybe a little bit of consistency on my part, or maybe, you know, giving myself more grace, like Lanye said, or different, you know, I think there's always things that maybe I could have done a better job on in just the day to day. But as a whole, I would say no regrets. I mean, I think that it has been such a blessing. There have been days, don't get me wrong, there have been days where like, I've had friends need to like practically talk me off the ledge, you know, like I cannot do this anymore. Like these children need to be raised by somebody else, because this is not working. And, but I think again, I think that's just the normal ups and downs of parenting in general. I think that's just when we get overwhelmed and we aren't doing a very good job of looking for solutions and sharing our problems with others, and we're just kind of allowing it to build. And I know that when I was able to then vent those things with other people and share those things, then I was blessed because I would get that encouragement back and I would get other moms saying, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I was there 2 weeks ago. And so, I mean, yeah, I think as a whole, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I don't have regrets as far as the entire life goes. You know, if I'm sure there were days and projects and subjects that I could have done differently, better, whatever. But as a whole, I would tell my young self, do it. It's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I think it's cool that you guys all have the insight of seeing that you didn't screw up your kids. So now right. You're probably a little bit more relaxed. Like, okay, they're not screwed up. Martha, what about you? I know you already started out your journey sort of on a more relaxed place than maybe most people are starting out. So I don't know if you're going to have the same feelings that other people might have about regretting, but do you think there is still something that you would regret or that you would have changed or done differently now that you know what you know now that you trusted the process through? Is there something that you regret or would have done differently?
I think what I wanted to do differently, it is happening right now with the pandemic. You know, because I am slowing down again, because I was just taking off. All of us were just taking off together, like it was getting faster and faster and faster. And suddenly we came to a halt, you know, and we are able to be together more and have like those times from like the beginning when there was more like, you know, storytelling and let's be together and, you know, make a circle and stuff like that. So I think I am not at all, you know, saying that I'm grateful for this pandemic, but I am very grateful for the time that it has allowed us to have right now, including having my husband around. You know, he was not around before. You know, he was checking all those boxes and numbers because he had that anxiety that things were had to be working in a certain way. So now that we're all together and moving in the rhythm, a true rhythm of, you know, a collective rhythm, I think that's been like a gift for my family. And I'm sure for other families, not only homeschoolers, I'm sure other families are enjoying this too. You know, at the time of being together and you know, and working together. Do I have regrets that they were bigger than just, you know, time itself and not enjoying certain moments the way that probably I should have more? Not really. I think all the ups and downs came, you know, with for a reason. You know, I think like all of us, we needed to like learn something for all the mistakes that we made, especially us parents, of course, you know, our kids were just following around. But basically, I just, if for whoever's starting to homeschool right now or they're thinking about it, you know, give yourself some time and always try to like, you know, be present. I think that's one of the biggest things is like to be present. Forget the planning, forget all that, just be present and, you know, and you will find like everything that you need for that precise child, you're going to find it in those quiet moments and that present moments.
Yes. Yes. That is really good advice. I think that's something, if I had to go back to the beginning, I would be more present and not be like always trying to make sure that I had everything planned and that I didn't screw them up. I feel like I would have just been more present and listened to them mm-hmm. and didn't look at them as my project that I had to complete them instead, just be next to them, learning with them. I feel like I could have wasted a lot of stress. You know, I could have been enjoying it a lot more. Now I'm starting to unfold all those things. But so I think we have gone over the time that I wanted to keep you guys. So I'm apologize. But if any of the listeners want to reach out to you and contact you, whether you have a business that is helpful or just a contact email, if you could share that, Martha. I know you have a learning center.
Yes, I do have a learning center. You can contact us at, www.alternativechoicesineducation.com. That's our place. It's a secular mindfulness-based approach that we have in there. So that's why I always emphasize in the be present in the moment, because that's what we're trying to do with all the children there and the parents and the families. And, just contact me that way. And I have a phone number too. It's 310-800-8046.
Awesome. I will get those things from you to put in the show notes for the podcast for anyone who's listening and cannot write it down. And Lanye and then Tanya, we'll go to you next. If you have any contact information or business that you would like to share with the listeners.
No business, but I love helping homeschool families starting out. If they have questions or just anything like that, because it's a journey. And on every journey, we need to take people with us. And so it just helps to make it that much nicer. So yeah, my email address is my first and last name, lanyefoster@gmail.com.
Thank you for that. And I'll get that from you too for the show notes for anyone who can't write it down. And for Tanya, before we say goodbye, if you have anything that you can share contact information wise or any businesses.
I do not have a business. I'm home with the kids, but I do love chatting about our journey and how it has been a blessing and the struggles and the ups and the downs of it. So my email address is robinson5tanya@gmail.com. So if anybody ever wants to just ask questions or chat or just need someone to encourage them, they can definitely reach out to me.
Oh, thank you guys. This has been so much fun. I'm going to get all that information from you guys after.